Blog Talk Radio.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. I'm moving, keep you moving, what are you shooting? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the tap. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him. You heard about the murderer, most shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitate me, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Not taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my way. Francis, M to the NH phenomenal. Gun rest under your bed.
Yes, indeed. Way to get the show started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chilling with Cheese Show again. This is episode 2 of the new year, and I'm glad to be back. And should have a good show tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of things in the next hour. Forgive me. I was just checking out Terrence Crawford and Jose Benavidez going at it. Benavidez is working out, and I guess Terrence Crawford found his way into his workout, and they began a lot of talk. Trash talking, and I'm looking forward to that fight. I got Crawford winning, but Benavidez is a good young fighter. He's 26-0, 17 KOs, and I think this will be a good test for Terrence Crawford. So may touch back on that in a little while. I have a great guest coming on, and when you meet this guy, you're gonna see why. He has a great personality, and I met him in New York at the Michael Conlan debut fight. And we kind of hit it off. He's Andrew McCart from Scotland. He does some work for IFL TV, interviewer, writer for them. He does a great job, very knowledgeable boxing guy. And we're going to touch on a few things going on over in the UK. Number one being the Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury matchup and that whole press conference thing that went down the last week or so. And of course they'll be fighting out in LA in the Staples Center. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about as far as Anthony Joshua and taking on the winner of that fight. Hopefully it's been a long time coming. And there's a lot of trash talk going back and forth between all three camps, meaning Joshua, Tyson Fury, and Deontay Wilder. So hopefully things will start to iron out after this fight between Wilder and Tyson Fury. So we'll touch on that, and we'll touch on a lot of other things coming up. And if you'd like to call in, give us your thoughts. The call in number is 929-477-3798. 929-477-3798. We're also going to talk on Billy Joe Saunders failing a drug test, and he's going to be stripped of his WBO middleweight belt, and his fight with Demetrius Andrade is not going to go down, I guess. So I don't know what Saunders was thinking. So obviously he wasn't thinking, so we'll talk about that as well. But yeah, man, if you guys, again, if you'd like to call in and talk, 929-477-3798. Andrew should be calling in about 4 or 5 minutes. Again, he's a great guy, and I know you guys will like him. Great personality. And, we hit it off the first time we met out in up in New York City at Madison Square Garden. And he really enjoyed his time there. It was actually a big fight weekend, that particular weekend. Michael Conlon pro debut was on Friday night, and of course the next day was Triple G and Daniel Jacobs again at the Garden, and along with Chocolatito. And so yeah, that was one of the huge nights of boxing in New York City. And yeah, we hit it off well. So yeah, man, it should be a great show. And I don't usually do MMA, but I have to. And we're going to touch on, obviously, the whole Conor McGregor, Khabib situation that went down in Las Vegas this past Saturday night. And I'm going to ask Andrew his thoughts on that. And what does he think about what went down, whether it be a rematch? You think Conor will fight again? Obviously, Conor does want to fight again. He said on his Instagram that he's looking forward to the rematch. So as far as Khabib, I understand that his father was pretty upset. And, of course, Khabib was upset after the fight as well. He probably knew he did the wrong thing. But, you know, emotions take over in that situation. A lot of trash talk leading up to the fight. And kind of Dan, if you will, why he was so upset and went after Conor McGregor's camp outside the ring. I mean, Conor McGregor's friends outside the ring. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. I was watching it live on pay-per-view, and I was like, man, is he jumping over? And then a guy from Khabib's camp jumped into the octagon and went after McGregor. So, man, that was a whole it took me back to Fan Man and other things in boxing. Of course, in boxing, there's no stranger to strange things going on before and after the fight. And you always have maybe a scuffle or two, but for the most part, nobody really gets hurt. It's just a whole lot of pushing and shoving. But these guys were going at it. They were throwing some bombs, and so, yeah. We'll talk about that. So, yeah, man, if you guys, men and women, ladies and gentlemen, if you got anything to talk about, 929-477-3798. And a couple announcements I'd like to give to you guys. First of all, I want to congratulate young heavyweight Cassius Chaney. He just signed a new contract with Main Event Boxing, Kathy Duva. So I want to give a shout out to him and congratulate him on a, you know, getting his money up. So maybe he'll treat the dinner if he's listening. I know he's known to listen once in a while. So, yeah, I appreciate that. By the way, Cassius trains right down the street from here in Baltimore. So he'll be fighting coming up soon, November the 3rd. So, looking forward to that. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff going on in boxing. So get your thoughts. And I guess Andrew should be calling in the next minute or so. So, yeah, I'm really interested. And for you guys who are listening in, it is 11, almost it's after 11 in the UK. And so I appreciate him staying up late to call in. It's 6 p.m. here on the East Coast, and so he's calling in. It's 11 o'clock over in the UK. So for him to do that, I really appreciate him calling into the show like that, and just to get his thoughts on a few things. I'm not going to keep him too long because I know he's a busy guy and family man. So yeah, so should be a good show. Last week, I'd like to we had Karen Mulvaney from HBO Sports, and I'd like to thank Karen, if he's listening, for coming on the show. And, of course, HBO is winding down their 45-year history as far as covering boxing. It's kind of sad to see, but with the advent of different boxing outlets, which we're going to also touch on, DAZN, who's pretty good. I think it's going to be a big thing, but yeah, so we'll touch on it. And hey, Andrew, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, mate. How are you?
Hey, mate, how are you? How you feeling, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I've just been a public workout for a show that's happening in the UK on Saturday. So, yeah, it's been all go.
Everything's good, man. I was just telling everybody, man, I know it's after 11 over there, and I appreciate you standing up and chatting with the people over here in the States, man.
Anytime, my man, anytime. You know this. I'll do anything to help you out, brother.
I appreciate it, man. I want to kick it off with the obvious, Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. Of course, that fight will be December the 1st out in Los Angeles, and that whole press conference tour is pretty entertaining. Give me your thoughts on that whole situation, man.
Well, I seen it way back in 18th of August when Tyson, I was at the, in Belfast, the Tyson's fight against, I forgot the gentleman's name, Patera, I think it is. And Deontay Wilder showed up at the weigh-in, shouted bomb squad and all this sort of stuff. So I seen it all, the build-up in the hotel lobby when they were both going at it. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see I've got a video up. I mean, the hotel lobby, it just crowded with fans, and you've just got Tyson Fury on one side, Deontay Wilder on the other side, and they're both just, well, they're both 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight, 6 foot nine, just screaming at each other. And it's good for the fans, all this sort of stuff. I believe it's 50-50, if you know what I mean. 50% of it's real, and 50% of it might be like the business side of things, that this is to hype the crowd, the fight up a little bit. But I do believe there is needle there between the two of them, because, I mean, it's a heavyweight grudge match. It's a WBC belt against WBC champion, sorry, against the lineal heavyweight champion of the belt, even though the Ring Magazine belt isn't on the line for this one. It's going to be fun, Robert. You know, you've followed boxing long enough, man. You know that for these type of fights, it's going to be fun all the way up until fight night. With these,
absolutely.
Deontay is. I interviewed him the day he arrived in Belfast, and just speaking with him off camera, he was just the most. Like, he was so friendly. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't that sort of brash. Like, we've got a stereotype of Americans being brash and loud and all this sort of stuff. But he wasn't. He was very, very polite, very, very charming, very, like, asking me where I was from, and my accent's a wee bit different from everybody else's accent that he's heard in the UK and stuff like that. So I found him very, very interesting. Because it's the same thing with Tyson Fury. You don't, off camera is a totally different person from what you see on camera. But in terms of the fight, it's gonna be very entertaining, very, very, very entertaining.
I was gonna ask you, as far as, you know, I know that you said their sense of humor and their demeanor outside the ring is what you would always want when you're interviewing a fighter. But going inside the ropes, how do you have this fight going down between the two? Tyson Fury, in my opinion, is a very skilled but awkward kind of fighter. Of course, Wilder can get wild at times. His punch, he loops his punches a lot, but you can't take that power away from him. How do you see this fight playing out?
It's one of them ones, like, who do you prefer? The thing with Tyson Fury is, who do you get into spar? If I'm Deontay Wilder, and now I'm in Deontay Wilder's camp, who do I get in to mimic Tyson Fury? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's nobody in the world that's 6 foot nine and moves around the ring like Tyson Fury, switches orthodox to southpaw fluently. There's just not one heavyweight in the world that does that. I mean, the only way you can do that is get a 6 foot nine southpaw in, but then they're not going to mimic the movement. The only way you're going to mimic the movement is if you get a light middleweight in, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't understand. I have no idea who they're going to get in for sparring to try and spar for somebody like Tyson Fury. But you touched on it yourself there, Robert. You cannot take the power away from Deontay Wilder. I mean, he's proven it time and time again. If he touches you, you're going down. It's that simple. But he has to touch Tyson.
And that's crazy, man. And you know, it's weird. You talked about Tyson Fury and how awkward he is. And I think that's what took Klitschko by surprise, where he really didn't have anybody in that camp who could mimic the movements of Fury. And even though Klitschko, some people say he was long in the tooth, even though I thought he fought great against Joshua, he just went against a tough dude. But Yeah, man, yeah. I think you hit a great point. Fury is so awkward. Nonetheless, I mean, I think Fury, his last fight, he looked a lot better than he did his previous fight. And I don't know whether he was just shaking off ring rust. And, of course, Wilder, he went against Fury. I mean, I'm sorry, Wilder went against Luis Ortiz, and I thought that was a great heavyweight matchup. As far as these guys, after this fight, the winners maybe taking on Anthony Joshua, how do you think that will play out?
Josh just came out and said, and I think Eddie Hearn and Matchman have come out and said that even if Deontay Wilder loses, they will still want that fight because that's the fight the fans want. I don't know if you've seen, up on IFL TV over the weekend there when DAZN was in Chicago, Coogan Cassius interviewed Eddie Hearn, and he was basically calling Tyson Fury boring. He's not a very entertaining fighter. It's not pleasing for the fans for him to fight Joshua if he wins and stuff like this. I think I read somewhere as well that WBC will sort of order the winner to face Joshua. I don't know. I think I read it somewhere. Don't quote me on that, but I think I read that somewhere. But again, if you're asking me who I think would win and be the sort of like cat, because it's a money fight against Joshua. I mean, every single heavyweight on the planet right now wants to face Joshua. He's the money fight in the heavyweight division. I don't know. Tyson Fury against Joshua is an old British affair. You know, you've got two Englishmen fighting each other.
Yeah.
And that can, Joshua sells out 90,000 to 100,000 at Wembley Arena all the time. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Not many boxers can sell 100,000 tickets in stadiums.
Not at all. That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? So it's amazing. To me, I'm trying to think of a stadium big enough that could hold Wilder, Joshua, or even Tyson Fury, Joshua. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. The fight will probably have to take place in the States, in one of your big stadiums. So I don't think we've got a stadium big enough in the UK.
Only thing, man, the one thing that I do see with that, and you may have touched on it with Joshua, whether it's Wilder or Fury, Joshua is going to be the A-side fighter, if you will. And I think in that particular fight, he will have the leverage on, number one, where the fight will be and what the purse will be. And I think Wilder, even though Wilder will command a lot of money, I think Joshua will obviously get the lion's share of the money. Do you really think that they would, in your thought process, do you think that they would pick a fight in the States rather than have it over in the UK?
No, I don't think so either. You're talking about Joshua's side?
Yes.
Yeah, Joshua's side. The fight's in the UK. The fight will have be in the UK, I think. I think Wilder would take the fight in the UK, but I think Wilder wants the 50-50 split or whatever it is that he wants. But I think we've both touched on it then. Joshua's the money man. He brings more to the table. But again, I don't want to sound like I'm a Joshua fanboy because I'm far from it. It's one of them ones. If you're not a promoter, then you've got to put your own promoter's hat on and think like a promoter. And Where's the money? The money is with Joshua. The money will be in the UK.
That's right.
You know, in days gone by, it used to always be America, the States. If every single boxer in the UK was sort of like, their dream was to fight in the US, fight in even Madison Square Garden, fight in Vegas. It's because the money was there. That's where the money was. But I think the UK are starting to crawl our way back into it now, and we've got so many like stars coming through and stuff like that. But again, it's one of them ones. I think. Well, here we go. Here's a question for you: If Wilder beats Fury, he becomes the lineal champion of the world in quotes because the title isn't on the line. But he did beat the man that beat the man that beat the man that beat the man. If that makes sense, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Tyson Fury, Klitschko beat blah blah blah. So Wilder will then have that claim that I am the man in the heavyweight division now because I've beat the man that beat the man that beat the man that's beat the man. Do you know what I mean? So he might have that little bit of leverage now to negotiate with. And he'll still have the WBC belt, which is probably, out of the four main governing bodies, is the, we say, prestigious belt out of the four. You know, it's, WBC belt is the one that everybody wants.
That's right.
So there might be a little bit more of a, he could have a little bit more to bargain with if he beats Tyson Fury. in the lead up to Joshua's fight. But Joshua's got a fight in April because he's got a contract with Wembley Stadium to have another fight in April next year. So whether that fight in Wilder can happen then, we don't know. But there's a lot of talk. I think it might be the Dillian White fight in April for Joshua.
Yeah, the only thing with that, man, is if even though Wilder may make that claim that he beat the man who beat the man, it's hard to turn down 100,000 people and all that money. That's hard to beat, man. And let's be honest. I mean, you got a big, strong, good-looking dude, and Anthony Joshua, who's, you know, he just brings the money in. It is hard to beat that man. Well, you know for a fact Eddie Hearn knows that he can fill up a 100,000 seat stadium with a blink of an eye. So, I mean,
No, you go. I'm just going to say that the pay per view in the UK is a lot cheaper than it is in the States. I believe that you spend close to maybe $70 to $100 a pay per view. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, we're only $19.99, so that's like £20, which is like $23, $24.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that,
yeah,
man.
So our pay-per-view is a lot cheaper than it is stateside. You know, so, and plus with the Zone as well being, they would obviously pick it up because they've got a partnership with Eddie Hearn. They'd pick it up stateside. I think the Zone's only $10 a month for you guys over there.
Yeah.
So
now, do you think, as far as the Zone, do you think they will adjust the pricing now that they know, oh, we're in the States? Well, you know, you can command $70, $80 for a pay-per-view. Do you think they will adjust the pricing here in the States for a fight like that?
For a fight like that, they might. But
the
Zone and Eddie Hearn and Matchroom, they don't have that signature U.S. fighter yet. They've got Anthony Joshua. Yeah, he's British. I think what they need somebody like, I don't know who, like, they might need somebody like an Errol Spence.
Sure.
You know, they might need some big name out stateside to just help them. You know what I mean? Right now, I think they're searching for that marquee U.S. fighter to fight on the Zone and be that name that they can build off. Similar to what Sky Sports in the U.K. have done with Joshua. You know,
they've
built Joshua from the Olympic gold medal from when he turned pro up until today. So he's always fought in Sky Sports pay-per-view and all this sort of stuff. So I think what the Zone and Eddie Hearn are needing, they're needing that marquee U.S. fighter, that big name. And who that might be, your guess is as good as mine, Robert. So I think that's what they need. I mean, if the Joshua fight, they might put the prices up for that.
That's
right. Right now they're saying it's just $10 a month subscription fee, I think for you guys stateside. So.
All right. Now I'm going to switch gears on you, Andrew, and Billy Joe Saunders. And
yes, sir.
We all know he failed the voluntary drug test and likely, you know, stripped the WBO middleweight belt. And that's a good question because you have the finger on the pulse over there. What's the mindset of his camp? What went down with that?
Well, here's the thing. We get tested. We've got the UCAD over here, which is the UK Anti-Doping Agency type thing. So they tested Billy Joe, and it's an we have an in-competition test. Again, I only know a certain amount of what's going on. So in-competition is like the day of the fight. So he'll get drug tested after his fight, right? And if he has anything in his system immediately after his fight, then he's failed the drugs test. So Billy Joe was, in UCAD's view, was out of competition. And it was a nasal spray. He was using a nasal spray. So I don't know what the drug is called, but it was a nasal spray that he had used. But he'd done no wrong according to the British Boxing Board of the Control and UCAD. However, WADA, which is the big one stateside, they're in competition is camp. So if you're in a 10-week, 11-week camp, you're in competition. It's not the day of the fight, if that makes sense. So Billy Joe had done no wrong on our side. Well, not on our side, but on the UCAD side. However, he did wrong on the WADA side. I believe everyone, like Eddie Hearn as well, I think everyone over here, we thought that he would have got a slap on the wrist and the fight would have went on.
That's right.
Yeah. But obviously the Massachusetts State Commission, they seen otherwise. Which is a shame, really, because you always want to see You don't want to see a champion strip. I mean, he took a steroid, right? You can't deny that. He took a steroid, well, a performance enhancing drug,
right?
According to the drug agencies and professional, being a professional athlete. So you can't deny that. He has took it. But his second test came back negative and all this sort of stuff. So I think many of us this side were thinking maybe he'll get slapped and the rest of the fight will go ahead. I don't know. It's one of them ones that I've not... Yeah. You need to really delve into it to understand the drug that was used and like the UK
yeah.
and the doping agency, like what their rules are and what VADA's rules are. So there's so many people sort of, or so many organizations involved. It's like, well, who's right, who's wrong? You know what I mean? It's a funny one. But
that's right.
Again, it's just robbing the fans. Well, I'm not robbing the fans. He took a drug. He took a steroid. You know what I mean? I don't know, Rob. I'm kind of like confused a bit because he did no wrong on UCAD's side, but then he did wrong on VADA's side. That's right. It's just, you know. So, I don't know if you knew that the UK fighters over here, we get drug tested by UCAD, so we have to.
I did not know that.
We've got our own drug agency here. So, and I've seen it many times in fights. As soon as a fighter comes out the ring, he'll get followed around by a member of UCAD, and they will only allow a certain amount of bottles of water, and then he has to take a piss before they can leave his side so they can do a test.
Wow.
That's in competition. That means the day of the fight.
That's some great insight, man. That is great insight, and I swear I did not know that. Of course, that fight is supposed to take place October 20th in Boston.
Yeah, next week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So man, that's crazy, man.
So I think he's been stripped. He's been stripped of his WBO title, and Demetrius Andrade will fight. Now I'm going to try and say this guy's name, so don't quote me on this. I'm going to try and say his name.
That's what I was
going to
say. Yeah. Right.
Walter Kuntandokwa.
That's good enough for me because I was trying to pronounce his name too. Yeah, man.
We'll just roll with that. Yes, he gets his shot. I mean, the guy looks quite good as well, so he might put up a good fight for the fans.
Yeah.
But I'm one of them guys. You take a drug, you should be banned from the sport. But again, Billy did no wrong on this side, but he did wrong on VADA's side. That's the sort of. I've not read too much into it again. I'm just reading snippets here and there. So. My initial view, if you take a drug, especially in boxing and combat sport, if you're caught with performance-enhancing drugs, then, and I mean, like, if you're heavily in, like, even, I believe you should get banned. There's no denying that. Like, I believe Canelo got let off lightly, you know, and they get back coming back into fight. You're playing with people's lives here, and it's one of them ones that, I don't know. I don't know too much about it. So I probably shouldn't be saying all this about it. So I'm not really an expert at all, but it's one of them ones that. Yeah.
Now you brought up Canelo. What was your take on the Canelo Triple G fight? I mean, who did you have winning? And as far as the outcome, what you expected?
Well, the first fight I had Golovkin winning. There's no way Canelo.
So did I.
The first fight in my eyes.
So did
in
I.
my eyes. This fight
That's
had
right.
Golovkin winning by one or two rounds. However, the fight was that close that I could have gave it a draw, and I don't really care that Canelo won because it was such a close fight. Personally, I had Golovkin winning by one or two rounds, but you can't argue the case against Canelo winning because it was a good fight and Canelo did the whole center of the ring. You know, he didn't stand there and try and trade. He done his thing. He held center of the ring and he was pushing Golovkin back a little bit. So he did have his moments in the fight.
Right.
So again, I can't argue Canelo. I can't argue a draw, and I can't argue Golovkin. But me personally, I had Golovkin. Do I want to see a third match? Probably not.
Okay,
probably.
That's fair.
I think Golovkin. He's 36. He's 37 by the time he's. Father time waits for no man, apart from Floyd
That's
Mayweather.
Right.
So,
and he's been through some wars, really. But switch to DAZN, And you talked about it earlier. The first fight card here in the States was last week in Chicago. You guys have had DAZN for quite some time now. What can we expect from DAZN and that network?
Well, we haven't had DAZN. We've had Sky Sports.
Sky Sports too. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So DAZN is a new network that's starting up, I believe, stateside. So it's a brand new sort of channel for yourselves. But again, you'll have all the Sky Sports cards, all the Anthony Joshua fights. I don't know if you will have the fight card inside tonight, but there's a young lightweight called Lewis Ritson who's fighting for the European title.
Yes, I've heard of him.
Lewis is a very, 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 very special talent. I mean, over here, we fight the fighters, UK fighters, we fight for the British title. Now, you have to defend the British title three times before you can win it outright.
Right. Now, he's undefeated, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, he's undefeated. And
yeah,
I think he won the British title the fastest than anyone else in Britain.
Wow.
He only went, like, maybe, I think it was, like, five rounds or something like that in three fights. I mean, and these guys are meant to be on his sort of level, British level. But he's far surpassed them, and he's now on the European title at the weekend. Now, I don't know if you will get that, because it's on Sky Sports, so you might get it on DAZN if you've subscribed to DAZN. And definitely one of the young fighters that guys in the States, if they like, I know it's hard to keep up because you've got so many fighters over in the States, but to keep an eye on some young guys coming through in Europe, I would definitely put Lewis Ritson there, definitely.
Well, you know what? I think that's a good thing with DAZN then, because I'll get this subscription as well, but to get in touch, especially over here in the States, for people who love boxing, to get more involved with the fighters over in the UK. DAZN actually has been in Germany for a few years already. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was going to say, excuse me, DAZN has got the World Boxing Super Series as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you watched that tournament stateside, the first tournament with the super middleweights and the cruiserweights, with Alexander Usyk and...
Yes, I did.
All these
guys.
It's an absolutely great tournament, and they've got the season two starting now. So you've got the light welterweights, you've got a couple of Americans, you've got Ryan Martin, I believe, that we saw on the Golovkin bill last year. Remember when Golovkin Jacobs?
Tall, slender Ryan Martin. Yes, I know. Yes.
It's a blue chip boxer, he's called. He's fighting a Scotsman, one of my good friends, Josh Taylor, 3rd of November. So that should be a great fight. That's in Glasgow in Scotland. You've got... I don't know if you saw at the weekend, Naio Inoue, his knockout against Piano.
Yes, I did.
Over in Japan.
He's pretty good, man. He's pretty good.
He's awesome. And he's in the bantamweights as well. Zaloni Tetti, Ryan Burnett. So all these, you've got the top eight guys in each division fighting each other for the Muhammad Ali trophy. And there's like two or three world titles on the line as well, because they're all champions. And guys in the US, if you subscribe to DAZN, you get all that for $10 a month. And for me personally, I love the World Boxing Super Series tournament. I think it's a great, great, great addition to the boxing world. And it definitely picks the number one guy in the division. There's no, I'm the IBF champion, or I'm the WBO champion, I'm the best, but we're not going to fight each other. Well, the Muhammad Ali trophy basically says I'm the number one guy in the division. Do you know what I mean? So, and you just get that for $10. So I think there's one. They've still got their baby teeth, but they might pull it out in the stateside. They might do it. I mean, I know that ESPN have got a new thing over there as well, haven't they?
Yes, ESPN has Top Rank with Bob Arum. Actually, is a big fight this weekend with Terrence Crawford against Jose Benavidez. And
I've seen them joining each other.
So they're going to get it on, and I'm looking forward to that. But I know DAZN, they had Brian Kenny, who I always thought was a very knowledgeable announcer for their boxing here in the States, along with Sugar Ray Leonard. So I think Brian Kenny will do great for that. But before I let you go, man, because I know it's late over there, I didn't want to keep you too long, but I have to. Hey, Andrew, I have to get your take on Conor McGregor. And I know it's a boxing show, but what now?
No.
I'm gonna hold on. Before you explain this, I want to tell everybody. When yeah. I met Andrew in New York City, now it was Michael Conlon's pro debut at Madison Square Garden, and me and Andrew hit it. Actually, we sat right next to each other. We hit it off, man, and Andrew said my last name was Gardner, so I'm an honorary Scotsman for life. So, yeah, man, you first of all, you're great. You always treat me well. We inbox each other every once in a while, say hello. And but anyway, that particular night, I don't know if you remember. Remember Conor McGregor was there, and remember he walked over to the reporters at ringside and told them, I got a big announcement coming. And, of course, that was him fighting Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. And so we fast forward to 2 years later. What was your take about last Saturday night?
My take, you talk about the fight or the thing after?
The fight and the after-fight party inside the Octagon.
Right. Well, McGregor's a businessman now.
Right.
I mean, the whole through the fight, he was trying to sell his whiskey, and he's got his own whiskey brand and stuff like that, and he was drinking the whiskey in the press conference and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think I was saying this to somebody earlier. I think he got like $35 million for the Floyd Mayweather fight, and I think once you get comfortable with that amount of money, is the desire still there? I mean, when McGregor first started fighting in the UFC, or when he was in the I can't remember what the first organization he was a UK guy, Cage Warriors. Before he joined the UFC,
okay.
he was in Cage Warriors. Mm-hmm. He was fighting because he had no money. Mayweather, McGregor, he was on the dole, which is government aid. I think it is in the States. He was on government aid. He was only making like 112 euro a week or something like that from the
wow.
government aid that he was going to yeah. So he was fighting. He had to fight to make ends meet. So that's what made him a
wow.
hungry fighter. But once
yeah.
you've got the money and you're not hungry anymore, then what are you doing it for? You're just doing it for more money, and that's not the right reason to fight.
That's
I mean,
right.
The best fighters are fighting because they're hungry for something. They're hungry to feed their kids, to put a house over their head, to do these sort of stuff. I think that Khabib, he's still got that desire and that hunger in his belly. He's not a businessman in any sense of the word. He's a true fighter. So
that's right.
I think that's probably what stood out for me more, and that's probably why McGregor got his ass whooped.
Yeah. Do you think he'll bounce back? He's got the okay.
No, he'll bounce back, Robert. Of course, like we've seen that against the Diaz fight when he got tapped out in the second round. The first fight against Diaz, and then he came back the second.
He came back,
knocked him down three times, and he was just bouncing Diaz all over the octagon. So I think I think this might give him the hunger back, like what I was just talking about. I think he needs that to step away from the business side of things, take off the Gucci suit, take off
That's
the
right.
Gucci. You know, take off the Gucci mink coat and just go back to just being that fighter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know what?
So,
for someone like, and I want you to, before you go, take us on the inside of, okay, because you're one of the few people that I've known that has, you know, been to Dublin, and you can feel the backing of McGregor. Take us to inside the people in Ireland who back this man who knows exactly where it came from. Just put your finger on the pulse of that country when he's fighting.
Well, it's not so much the Irish people, it's the Celtic people, it's the Scots as well.
That's right.
We're a fighting nation. The Irish and the Scots have been fighting for thousands of years in every war imaginable. Like the Romans couldn't even conquer Scotland. The Romans conquered the whole of Europe and North Africa, but they could not conquer Scotland. There's a little interesting fact for you, Robert. They had to build a wall. They had to build a huge wall close to
right.
coast to separate Scotland. So
you told me that in New York City. I remember that.
I probably did. I do remember just shooting a load of nonsense to you in New York.
No, it wasn't nonsense, man. You know what? You had gave me so much knowledge, and I felt that I was an honorary Scotsman when we left, and You were like, hey, man, you want to hang out? And remember my old man kicked in and you were going to the McGregor party. And I said, man, I'm tired. You like, come on, man. I'm like, man, I'm tired. Because remember Triple G and Daniel Jacobs was the next day.
That's right, yes.
You remember?
Yeah.
That's right. So that was something, man. But go ahead. I want people to understand where you're coming from with this.
Well, but the fighting nations, and I think that's just bred in us. It's just the fight. A fight. And I think you just talk to any Irishman, any Scotsman, or any Celtic man for that nature. It's just bred in us. We like, and because we're such small nations, like there's only 5 million Scots and I think 6 million Irish living on each island. So it's like we're a small nation, so we get right behind our own. I mean, the States, you've got 300 plus million of yours. You know what I mean? It's like so many people can slip through the gap and maybe a good percentage of folk don't even like boxing or fighting or stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But because there's such, and plus they're passionate people as well. You know what the Irish are like on the St. Patrick's Day and all this sort of stuff. They're just a passionate passionate nation. So I do, if any of your listeners are listening to me right now, if you've never been to Dublin, you need to go. It's a great night out. Even Belfast and Northern Ireland, for that matter. Two great cities. Just the fun. The people are so friendly. And there's plenty of drink for everyone.
I know, and I remember you telling me to come on over. You invited me a couple of times, and I told you that night, even though it was in the theater at Madison Square Garden, that was one of the most enthusiastic crowds I've ever been to at a boxing match. And
well, here's
if you
thing.
Guys
here's
have...
the thing. Here's the... Uh-huh. Sorry, Robert. Sorry. No, here's the thing.
No,
right?
Go ahead.
You've got a guy, an Irishman, a young Irishman making his debut, and it's not in Ireland. It's in New York, and you've got this young, unknown Irishman selling out the theater
sold
in Madison Square Garden.
That's
so
right.
I can tell probably some New York fighters that can't even do that.
Oh, I see it all
I mean?
The time when I go there. It doesn't sell out. That's right.
I'm talking about on the debut. On the debut, they can do that. You know, so it goes back to me just saying about the Irish people being passionate and getting behind their own. It's the famous thing that McGregor said. I don't know if you remember one of his post-fight interviews. Conor McGregor, he said, when one of us go to war, we all go to war.
That's right.
That's kind of true with all Celtic people. When one of us go to war, we're all going to war with that person. But that guy,
right.
we're just going to stand behind him and have his back no matter what.
That's right.
Yeah, back on that, you ever come to the UK, Robert, you've got. I'll take you around no matter what set you go to. You need to come over for a fight.
I will. I promise you that, and I'm gonna. And that was one of the reasons I wanted you on, because to give me that perspective and give the people listening that perspective, because a lot of us have never been there and don't understand the culture and the pride that takes place with, like you said, the Celtic people. Man, I appreciate you coming on, man. And hey, before you go, is there anything you want to let what you got coming up?
Yeah, I've got quite a few things coming up. I've got this show on Saturday night with Lewis Ritson, who I've just previously talked about. Then I've got a couple of weeks off. And then I've got the Josh Taylor fight against Ryan Martin that we discussed. That's in Glasgow on the 3rd of November. And then, who knows, there's a couple of good shows stateside. There's obviously Wilder against Tyson Fury on the 1st of December. And then Canelo's fighting on the 15th of December. Against a good UK fighter called Rocky Fielding at super middleweight on the 15th of December. So you never know, Robert. I could be stateside by the end of the year. So
hey, well, all you got to do is let me know, and I'll meet you there, my friend. And always a pleasure texting you and talking to you, man. And I really hope to see you soon. I hope
likewise.
The family is doing well.
Likewise,
yeah, man. So we're gonna keep in touch, and I appreciate you coming on, man.
Hey, I enjoyed myself, man. I really appreciate you giving me the call to come on. It's been fun. And like I said, next time you come to the UK, I've got you, man. Don't worry about that.
I appreciate it, my brother. Take care.
Take care, Robert. Thanks again, buddy. Cheers.
All right.
Now.
You too. All right, bye-bye. Brother. That was cool, man. Andrew's a great guy, man. And again, I touched on it while he was on the phone. I met him at Michael Conlon's debut fight in Madison Square Garden, which is St. Paddy's Day. And That crowd was electric, man. It was almost as if Muhammad Ali or somebody was fighting, and it was a big night. Not only that, you had the Irish and Celtic and Scottish fans, but outside the arena, when the fight was over, you had Triple G fans, you had Daniel Jacobs fans, you had Chocolatito fans coming all the way from Nicaragua, and man, that was just a great 3 days in New York City, man. And starting with Thursday at the weigh-in for Michael Conlon, leading up to Saturday night, which was the pay-per-view, Triple G and Daniel Jacobs. So yeah, it's pretty good, man. So yeah, it's a good show. I appreciate Andrew calling in. I'm going to be back on the air next Wednesday. I have a few guests lined up, and so hopefully we'll get them on and we can share some more thoughts and opinions of some great boxing people around the world. And he brought the heat tonight, and that's what I'm going to try to do, have different people from around the world come on, and we're going to keep this thing rolling. So until my next show, chilling with Cheese, and I'm out.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never. Business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. Our music keeps you moving. What are you shooting? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby. I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the cat. And babe, you know you too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, most shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitate me, I'm in your...